September 29th, 2018, it's a Watt from Pedro show. SWAT for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday, Brother Matt. Indisposed, but I'm going to see him Sunday. I'm not completely man alone because of the wonderful people in Estonia that brought us the software Skype. I'm with Donnie and Jason of Cutthroat Brothers. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having us on the show, man.
How's it going?
Where are you guys at?
We're in Hawaii on the Big Island.
Okay. Close to that volcano?
Yeah, it's quieted down for now, but it was pretty crazy earlier this year for sure, yeah.
Okay. About how many miles?
From the volcano? It's about an hour and a half away.
Okay, so you're safe then.
Yeah, we're on the safer side of the island for sure. Okay. So, but Donnie's over here. We're writing record number two right now because he happened to be taking a vacation over here in Hawaii. So we're at my pad. He's got a drum kit shipped over here, and we're writing tunes.
We just had a boat, the Pasha boats, you know, Pasha line. They have a couple. They got this row. It's kind of a combination. It carries cans, but it's got a big ramp. It can carry trucks, and they come to our harbor all the time. Yeah, I'm not sure if you're aware of this line. They probably go into Oahu. Pasha, P-A-S-H-A. They got three or four boats, and they do regular crossings. And they got this one trippy kind of hybrid. It's in between a, you know, roll-on, roll-off, them car carriers and a can boat. I should say what we started off with was John Coltrane doing the Inchworm live at Penn State in 1963. And then off the album I got, I don't know about you writing this new one, but I do know about this one. And potions and powders from the Cutthroat Brothers. And I got all eight tunes. We're going to play them on today's show. Who wants to go first, Jason or Donnie?
Donnie can go first. That's all good.
Okay, because what I want to do is get into your fucking journey through music, okay? So,
okay,
Donnie?
Yeah.
What's your earliest musical recollection?
Climbing under the Christmas tree and grabbing a snare drum and sticks that were supposedly left by Santa.
How old?
I was about 2 years old, 3 years old.
Good memory. And where was this at?
My parents' house.
Yeah, I figured, but like where? What town?
I grew up in Kirkland, Washington.
Okay, Washington State.
Yeah,
Northwest. So 2 years old. So did you ask for this drum set? Was on any kind of list?
Well, my parents are musicians, and we hung out at my grandmother's a lot. My dad and my uncle played music together as well. There was a drum kit there, and my parents said I would just sit on it and play, so they decided to give me a snare drum.
Okay, so it wasn't a voice from a, I don't know, someone who wanted to drive your parents crazy. It was actually their idea. Okay.
Yeah.
So, was it just a snare drum and some sticks, or was it the whole fucking trap kit?
No, I didn't get a full kit until the second grade.
It's still pretty good. What's that, like 6, 7 years old?
Yeah, 7.
Yeah, 7 years old. And was it a good one? I know some of the little kids, like, for example, the urinals, right? Kevin, he started this kit, some little kit that had paper heads. Did you have real heads on this?
Well, yeah, the one I got in second grade, yeah. I did have a paper head kit, but I really don't, you know, that thing got, as soon as I got it, somebody stabbed sticks through it. It came over to play, so my parents were upset. Yeah, I didn't really play it.
Is that a buddy of yours?
Yeah, some kid. You know, I don't even remember him. You
okay.
Know?
Okay, so what about at school? Was there music at school? I mean, there was music in the house, obviously, because they're musicians. What's your mom and pop play?
My dad is a keyboard player, and my mom was a singer.
Okay, so was there like a piano in the living room?
Yeah, there usually was a whole band in the living room.
Wow. Jesus. That's bitching, though. And so did you do a music in school, like the marching band or that kind of shit?
Yeah, you know, my parents talked me into playing the saxophone instead of playing the drums because every kid wanted to play the drums. And so I learned, you know, how to play other instruments besides the drums at school.
And what like alto?
Yeah, alto, okay. Exactly.
Okay. And I know if you can play alto, you can play a tenor, you can play soprano, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I heard that, like, clarinet guys can learn sax, but it's hard for sax guys to learn clarinet because of the fingering or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, I guess you just got to wrap your mind around where the notes are, right?
Yeah, yeah. I did a little clarinet in seventh grade for about 10 cool. weeks till the teacher, Mr. Luna, said, "What? You try hard, but stop wasting your time and my time," and then looked at the class, our time. So, yeah, never tried music in school again. So, what about after school? Like, garage band in the bedroom, this kind of shit with your buddies?
Yeah, you know, I started a little band with my friends in the seventh grade, and all we had a guitar, bass, and drums, and we played Kiss songs.
Oh, wow. Okay. Did you ever play in front of people, like a gig?
That band, we finally did play a show once we got a different bass player, like one.
And what was that like?
It was fun. We played with a band that had a lot of draw, so, you know, it was cool, but it wasn't my first show, so I wasn't very pleased with all the playing.
Did you just do Kiss songs?
Oh, no, by that time we were playing Black Sabbath songs.
Okay. What was the name of this band?
I think they wanted to call it Spectrum, but, you know, there's a million bands called that, right?
Well, shit, get this. There's a fucking Billy Cobham album called that.
Right,
yeah. And fucking George Hurley was way into it. George Hurley learned drums by listening to that record and Happy Jack by The Who. He taught himself fucking drums. I think it was the first gold record a drummer got. That's Billy Cobham. And, you know, I'm not much of a fusion guy, but that was as big in the 70s. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I want to play Psychic Chemist from your new record, okay?
Thank you. has lengthened back against a neck. Alone and alone, she's pushed and she's pushed till her back's near breaked. Down and up on the greenwood side, she's laid her head against a stone, all alone and alone, oh, two bonny babes ever born, down in the bonny greenwood side, oh. She's went back to her father's castle, ha, all alone and alone, oh. She was the smallest maid of them all, down in the bonny greenwood side, oh. She's looked o'er her father's castle, ha, two bonny babies playing at the bar, down in the bonny greenwood side, oh. Oh, dear babies, gin ye were mine, all alone and alone, oh. I'd give ye bread and I'd give ye wine, down in the bonny greenwood side, oh. Oh, dear mother, when we were thine, all alone and alone, oh. Around our necks ye built a twine, down in the bonny greenwood side, oh. We are in the heavens, say hi, all alone and alone, oh. And in hell's fire you will die, down in the bonny greenwood side, oh.
Where do we go from here? 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 If we sweep the bottom of the rivers, we'll find bodies that shouldn't be there. If we sweep the courts and the offices, we'll find heads that shouldn't be there. Cats on the hill, ready to kill. Where do we go from here? 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 If we sweep the shelters and asylums, we'll find women who shouldn't be there. If we sweep the dark streets and alleys, we'll find tradesmen who shouldn't be there. Ding dong hell, pussy in the well, cats on the hill, ready to kill. Are you getting ready? Blood and horror. Are you getting ready for God and terror? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here?
Supuestamente, estoy demente. Supuestamente, dice la gente. Supuestamente las cosas no puedo cambiar. Y con mi letra te la voy a revolucionar. Supuestamente el arte es fantasía. Supuestamente el mundo es poesía. Y que solo hay una forma de vivir la vida. No me creas tan marica.
Watch for Pedro Show, that was Psychic Chemist leading off that bunch of music there. And then Splotch, Sam's finding stuff in his old days, digitizing them with Russians. From upstate New York. From Brazil, Vermes de Limbo with La La La. Brand new King Champion Sounds. King Champion Sounds. King Champion Sounds. God, that's hard to fucking say. They're from Netherlands in a new album. For a Lark, and this tune was called Om Bur Buva Sva, so maybe India, kind of Buddha words, maybe, or Hindu, maybe, I don't know, but it's a bitchin' tune. Still House Plants from Glasgow with David Anjay's Bridge, and their collaborator Quinny, Cruel Mother. Yoko Ono's got a new record, 85 years old. Where do we go from here? Pip Bloom out of Holland with Skippy Still Remains. And finally, from Colombia, Yapi Loro with Superestimente. And back with the Cutthroat Brothers, I want to get to you, Jason. Your earliest music recollection.
My dad was a preacher.
Okay.
So it was all church at first, you know. And
singing
we had
church.
Singing
in church?
Yeah, singing in church, church music, and my family had a...
Believe it or not, a lot of rock and roll comes out of singing in church.
No, not a lot, but luckily my...
No, but in the old days, a lot of rock and roll did come out of...
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, they had a country western gospel family group that we all sang and toured around in Idaho where I was raised as a kid, so...
What part?
So, Boise.
Okay, the big town. I lived in Blackfoot.
Because oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was an Army reactor in a place called Atomic City. I guess it was the first place lit up with nuclear power. And my pop was he was a sailor, and he's getting trained in that shit. And I remember there's like that Mountains of the Moon or something. There's the weird kind of volcanic area, speaking of big volcanoes. There's volcanic area around there. And Blackfoot was named after the tribe of Native people. We're kind of living around there. But I was really little, so I don't remember a lot. We were only there a couple months. The reactor did go critical, though. It was a whole fucking nightmare my pop told me about, which people thought was fish stories till shit came out now. So
damn.
It was called SRC-1, this reactor. Yeah, we didn't have containment rooms in those days, so it was very heavy. When it went critical, the cloud went out. We put a bunch of enlisted men in jeeps with Geiger counter, like my pop was one of them, to go fall, and it rained on them.
Oh my God!
Yeah. So anyway, your pop's a preacher. So yeah, church has a lot of singing. So probably your first instrument was singing.
Yeah.
Yep,
singing, and then guitar. You know, later on.
And where'd you find the guitar? Yeah. How did you get into the guitar?
My dad had an old acoustic, beat up old acoustic he gave me.
Oh, did he play?
He showed me how to play.
He played?
He showed me how to play Louie Louie.
Okay. Great tune.
Yeah. So,
what's his name? Richard Berry, right? Richard Berry.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, they got me a Louie Louie tape with a compilation of all Louie Louie versions, and the last one with Black Flag. So that could, they kind of accidentally turned me on to some good music right there.
And I think that's from the Posh Boy 7-inch that had Dezzo singing. There ain't a lot of recordings with Dezzo singing.
It's a great version, by the way.
Yeah, it is. I remember that. I remember that. Dezzo was the third singer, people. Black Flag actually had four singers. And Dezzo was number three. He also played guitar a little later on. He was guy I conked with when the Flag took Minutemen to Europe. So,
wow.
You're playing nice. Your pops acoustic guitar. Did you do any playing at school? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, not in band. I started out, but it was really cool. The principal was our next door neighbor in junior high, so he would let us use the band room to practice with this little band I put together in like eighth grade or something like that. So it was like,
and what was this band? What was this band you put together? What was it called?
Oh man, I don't even know if we had a name. Nothing as good as Spectrum. I can tell you that.
Was it Spectrum? What was the first song? Yeah, the first song of that album is called Quadrant 4. Maybe the band was called Quadrant 4.
Yeah.
And then, get this, on the last songs, like, there's Snoopy versus Red Baron Part 1 and Part 2.
<It's> just, well, yeah.
I ain't thought about this record a long time, you know. Georgie loved it, though, man. Georgie's a trip. Beautiful. Right now, I'm mixing some Unknown Instructors, which is Jay Maskus on lead guitar and George Hurley on the drums.
You know, amazing.
Yeah, so I've been listening to a lot of George Hurley the last 2 weeks. And incredible.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
So did this band, nameless, did they ever do gigs? But you just used the principal's practice room.
Dude, we did one gig. It was an after-school dance, and it was really cool, but... my last period before the show was pre-algebra, which I failed three times, but I always had problems in school with these math teachers / coaches. They're always riding my ass, so I got permission to leave early and set up the gear for this gig in the gymnasium, but the math teacher, he wouldn't let me, so I was starting to freak out, you know, because it was like my first show. I was so excited, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So I just left, and he's a 6'8" dude. He chased me across the commons area and into the principal's office, and he was all red and crazy, and he was like, the next time he got in my face, said, the next time you leave my class, it'll be in a body bag.
Jesus Christ. This guy ain't just a math teacher, he's also a gym teacher, right? You know, we had, here in Pedro at Dotson Junior High, we had some fucking heavy-ass gym teachers. I was really getting scared of high school, like, this is junior high, but it didn't work out that way. Pedro High had way calmer. They had a couple dicks, but nothing like junior high.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's something about gym teachers, and, like, these clowns... in the shower, they'd be like checking you out, you know, with the towels, snapping your ass. It was weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, how'd the gig go? Besides, did the principal stick up for you?
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah. He was awesome. And
respect.
The gig went good. We played some Louie.
Yeah, of course. A
couple other things. I think Fight for Your Right to Party by the Beastie Boys, because that record came out that year or whatever.
I was just thinking about Adam Yacht this morning.
Yeah, man.
Great,
what a loss.
Cat. Yeah, too young.
Jeez. Too young, man.
He had this trippy switch he had on his bass. It was like a momentary switch. You know that tune Sabotage, you know?
Yeah.
He could go... He could make like... turntables and scratching. He could do that with the bass, with the fuzz. Yeah. I was bitching.
Killer. That's an iconic sound, you know, now.
Yeah, So by this time, you're probably not playing acoustic, right? You got an electric guitar and an amplifier?
Yeah. I found this great, my parents got me this Lyle, like, 335 copy with the Bigsby on a little, like, the Gibson amp, you know what I mean? The coolest little setup. So I was rocking that thing for a while, and you know, I always started writing songs, pretty fast out of the gate. Just I like to write, think of my own stuff.
So when I was a kid. Didn't do any tenure of Kiss song?
No.
Research and study.
No, well, I was lucky, man, because like right after junior high, my folks moved to the Seattle area in like 1988. So it was like the beginning of the Seattle scene. Or, you know, that whole time.
Oh, another one, because there actually was an earlier scene.
Exactly, you're right.
You know about this, right? You know, everybody thinks it's grunge and this stuff. Oh, Mark Garm's the only guy I know that uses that word grunge. But anyway, there was a scene in the early 80s that was kind of like, I don't know, like Gang of Four kind of music. Nothing, no big guitar stuff. That all happened after Jane's Addiction played up there, I noticed. Yeah, there was bands like the Beakers and Three Bears from Bangkok and shit like this.
Nice.
In fact, there was a magazine out of Olympia called OP. It ended up coming down to SoCal. It was called Option later. But me and D. Boone, we had a little label, New Alliance, and we would run ads. And that the scene you're talking about is actually the second scene. There was a scene earlier, but a little different. You know, and that's just the way humans are.
You know what, man? There's been this weird thing. Me and Donnie were sitting there after we did this first round of little shows that we played up there, and some recently we were sitting with this guy Rick King. He owns.
Oh, I know that Guitar Maniacs out of
Tacoma. Yeah, buddy.
But he's Tacoma. Yeah. Tacoma.
And we were sitting there talking to Rick. We were talking about the Sonics and stuff because he's kind of a Sonics historian and having breakfast and stuff.
He's good friends with the keyboard player, I think.
Yeah. And he was like, we were like, so you have so many cool people like coming through your shop all during that time and your shop really took off. Why was that? How'd that happen? You know what he said?
What?
Mike Watt. He said Mike Watt came in when they were on tour. And he told all of his friends, and all of a sudden, all the coolest people in the world were coming into my shop. That's what Rick told us, man. This is like, it's a weird coincidence, man. That's really cool,
these
though.
Good people. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, September 26, 2018. Special guest, Cutthroat Brothers. Hold tight for hour two.
Oh, yeah.
September 26, 2018. It's the second hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
Ocean's a fire. Bawa.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Oceans of Fire from the new Cutthroat Brothers. Then the Whack Whack Kingdom out of Berlin. That's Shige with Ozu. Tokyo R04 with Kambawa. That's me on the bass and spiel there with him. Just came out on paper records in England. Mini Beast. That's Peter from Mission of Burma. A rough mix of Yolin Bo. Mold Omen out of Balmar with Extinction Cinema number 2. The Extract out of Canada. And Birkenstock. And finally, Cutthroat Brothers with Teenage Pain. Okay, let's talk about the Cutthroat Brothers. How did you two cats meet?
Well, we met a long time ago, but weren't really acquaintances back in the 90s, early 90s, when both of our bands were kind of around. And then
This is the Seattle area, right?
Yeah, Seattle, Tacoma.
Okay.
And then I moved to Hawaii like 9 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago now, and Donnie was coming here all the time. Just out of coincidence, we met up here, and we've been hanging out. We were friends hanging out for 5 years, just sitting on a beach until finally, I was like, hey, I'm texted him one day. He was back in Tacoma. I was like, I'm writing some songs. You want to play drums on them? And he said, yeah. And he said, you want to record something with Jack Endino, who did all the Sub Pop stuff back in the days. And I said, that sounded like a bucket list thing to me. So here we are,
And you were telling me earlier you cut hair?
We both are barbers. Yeah, that's the whole
thing. Maybe that's where the name Cutthroat Brothers came from?
Exactly where it came from, yeah.
I was going to ask you where that name came from. And also the stage outfits. Kind of messy.
yeah. We're hoping not to scare anybody off from our barbering skills, but we wanted to have it be kind of fun,
Sure. Look, my favorite holiday of the year is Halloween because it's the one day a year that we don't pretend we're not wearing costumes.
That's right.
So I love playing on Halloween. So I'm curious, you guys play Halloween?
Oh, we hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, we're hoping to. Yeah, for sure, man.
Did Chuck do this album here?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about Violent Crimes.
Violent Crimes, man. Yeah, that was a kind of a different tune on the record, but it was kind of a doo-wop thing. Kind of 50s just kind of just feeling that vibe, the Phil Spector girl group. All this kind of stuff, with kind of a more of a murderous theme, I guess, well, yeah, I like that song.
I don't know, that's why I asked you. But let's listen, okay?
All right. Thank you.
remember whether it is bad or good. Share the love I feel for Judy, Jack and Jim, and the dogs in different ways we choose to live. Concrete steps up the snow to the porch, footsteps in the snow. There was a party at a house on Christmas Eve.
For Pedro Show, yeah, Violent Crimes, Cutthroat Brothers off their new album, then brand new from David Gerard out of Massachusetts, another distant star. Echo Test, that's got a great bass lady, Julie. She plays with that guy out of Champaign, Adrian Ballou, and Sense of Urgency. Then Chaz Bundick meets the Matson 2. With Steve Pink, Patrick Grant, Needle Variation. That's K-N-E-A-D-L-E, just in case you want to know. And then Dan Jones, finally, out of Kansas City with Concrete Steps. Okay, so Jack and Nino did this album. Did you record at his place?
Yeah.
Soundhouse.
Soundhouse.
Sure, Soundhouse. And how long did it take?
3 days.
That's record and mix, or just record?
Recorded and mixed it and mastered it.
Yeah, bitchin'. That's three full days, right?
Three full days. I mean, 3 12-hour days, 10-hour days, you know, as long as we could go.
Yeah, sure. But you guys were well-pracked, right? You didn't write it in the studio.
No, we had never played together before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God damn.
I was sending notes from my phone to Donnie back and forth for a couple of months before the thing. And
okay.
I showed up at his house the night before, and he's like, you know, I got to practice. He's playing drums in the Derelicts, you know, this great Seattle band. And he's like, I got a band practice this night before the thing. We're sitting there, and I was like, well, do you want to run any of the songs? He goes, no, I'm not worried about it. Are you? I go, well, if I'm not worried about it, you're not worried about it. So we cruised into the studio the next day, and Jack looked at me and he goes, so you guys got all your arrangements, everything's tight, ready to go, all practiced up. And I said, we've actually never played together before. And you look like you want to strangle both of us, man.
But did you have, but Daddy must have heard a tape or something, right?
Yeah, I made some, like, little notes on my phone, like audio notes, and texted to him, you know what I mean, like riffs.
Okay, like you played on the guitar, but not like song demos.
No, hardly. It was like maybe a verse and a chorus idea with, you know, and I had some words, ideas written out in a notebook and stuff. But no, other than that, we arranged everything and did everything on. We had kind of a two-take plan, you know, with rock and roll for us. It's the magic's in the beginning of the thing, you know. So it's like if you don't got it after a couple of takes, it ain't gonna happen in any way, I think. But, you know.
Did some of the songs didn't make it because it went past two takes?
No, we just did it till we ran out of ideas.
Okay. Interesting process. So you really didn't know until you were doing. Okay. What about titles? Did you have titles?
I think the titles were there. The basic idea, the mood was there. The concept was there. But yeah, you know, the sound didn't know. Rick King, again, saving the day, bringing with the guitar rig. Like, I said, hey, man, I didn't even have an electric guitar. I was doing it all on this acoustic, and he's like, I got the perfect thing, got me an old 60s Kawai Hound Dog Taylor, ripping that thing, man, you know, for the slide, because I only play slide, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know. So what happened to the old guitar your folks got you?
That's long gone. Way departed. Now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wish I had that. Gibson amp. So those are cool.
What'd you use for an amp?
An old Valco Oahu, man. That thing Valco. Just shredded like a maniac. You know those little tiny ones, man?
Yeah. I know somebody who has one of those. Like no toke controls or anything.
Nope.
Yeah. In fact, his was for a lap steel. This Oahu. It went with a lap steel.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
Killer.
Now, about drum rock? You didn't bring the drum kit over from Hawaii.
Oh, no. I ordered a roadshow here for Hawaii, but my kit is a custom pork pie acrylic kit, and the
pork pie.
I had it made.
I think pork pie, yeah, herb and Primus. I think that's where I saw a guy playing pork pie. Yeah, really good stuff.
It's great, and those guys were really good to me and made the sizes that I wanted and stuff, so they're cool.
Okay.
And they sound big as hell.
Yeah, and of course Jack, too, he knows how
to. Yeah, right?
He's got good technique, yeah, excellent technique. Now, there was the two-take rule, but you had to fucking learn it. Well, Donnie knew him.
I mean, it's not really learning, you know. When it's a song, it writes itself. That's pretty much what we did, you know. They wrote themselves, we played them. And it's what we're doing here in Hawaii, too. We got like 10 new songs in this last week, and it's not because we're like, it's an act of math. It's just, we're just letting the music take it where it's supposed to go.
But it is a different approach. You're going to try to go into the studio with tunes this time, right?
Well, it just worked out that Donnie was coming on vacation here for a couple weeks before the studio session. And check this out.
Yeah.
We're going in for 4 days this next time. So we're really going to stretch out.
You mean down in Hawaii, or are you going to come stateside and do Jack again?
We're going back with Jack, yeah, over in Seattle. So we're doing a record release party in Seattle, and then the day after that we go into the studio. And
for number two. Yeah,
for number two, yeah, exactly.
I think that's bitching.
It's fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys really like playing with each other.
We do. Definitely.
Where's this gig going to be? This record release gig?
Seattle at Elcor Zone and with the Real McKenzies.
And when's that?
October 5th.
Oh, no, fuck. Next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Shit, Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
A week from Friday. Okay. Well, I hope that goes really good.
Thank you.
Do you have? Is it just the one gig, or do you have plans for like
just
a tour?
One. Well, just the one show for now. We're working on a tour for next year.
Oh, really? For the and by that time, album number two will be out, right?
Well, we got a video coming out, and hopefully, we'll have a. Maybe get it released or a release date set by then.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a video. They did a video for Kill for You, and we filmed it at Donnie's barbershop in Tacoma when we did a 3-gig run in the Northwest about a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And then filmed a video, so that's going to get kind of a wide release here in this next week for the gig, and then we want to be doing more shows and stuff. You know, it's so easy with two guys, man. You know,
I'm going to get to that, but we're at the end of the second hour. Now I got an issue. We'll get to it. You know, I'll give you a clue. Poor Lonely Kid
Drum.
All right. September 26, 2018 edition of Juan Pedro Show. Special guests, Cutthroat Brothers. Hold tight for hour three. September 26, 2018. It's the third hour of the Juan Pedro Show. Another fire mine.
make a stand, sink or swim. Gotta make a stand, sink or swim. Gotta make a stand, so please let go of me and sink or swim. The shapes are in the clouds, they're of mine. The shapes are in the clouds, they're of mine. The shapes are in the clouds, express a painful doubt, but they're of mine. As children, we don't care for love. I am still a child, you know. I wish I had a heart I could give to you. But the only thing I find in me is the urge to try and see if I see. Oh.
a preacher's magazine. And in truth, his glory days were strapped to his chair. I'm talking about Sam, little Sonny Brown. When the play cowboys and girls, he's my king without a crown.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Cutthroat Brothers doing skeleton rides. What's a skeleton ride in the world of Cutthroat Brothers?
I just had a concept. It was just kind of like this. I don't know, man. It kind of came from this old... Me and my wife were stumbling around Puerto Vallarta one time on vacation and went across this local carnival, like for just for local people, and it was really trippy, man. They had like a midway, and the prizes for like the dart throwing was like a taxidermy two-headed calf and like stuffed snakes and all this stuff. So kind of that always just kind of stuck with me, kind of like this psychedelic carnival. So I kind of just channeled that into that song, you know.
Yeah, down by the waterfront in Seattle, they had some like dude that was mummified for a long time.
You yeah. just had him hanging out down there?
Yeah, he was in one of those curio shops.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? They found out it was a real dude, that was like some outlaw from 100 years ago. They got pickled or some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, Pedro band, Lady Hump doing Frenemies. The Pleads from 30 years ago for doing Frustration Live. That just came out. Cosmo Scheiss, brand new band out of Hamburg with Ticket to Shite. Shite is like England, huh? That's like... Banzai Universe, that's Woody Appledop. He was in Destroy Nels Klein with Starstream, his new solo record. And Ginferno, some stuff, Love Monk, a great label out of Spain. Ginferno with Transatias, Pajaro, Sunrise, Sink or Swim, Little Sunny from Gecko Turner. Finally, Dead Capo with Cicatrizando el Ar. Okay. Cutthroat Brothers. Yeah. So you never thought of adding a third element to the band?
Well, not yet. I mean, we've only been a band since February or March, so it's, you know, this is what we're rolling with now.
But you're saying that the good thing about having two guys, it's easy to get shit done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
no arguments.
Yeah.
You can get deadlocks, though. You don't have that third... tiebreaker vote.
Yeah.
Now, I ask this because, you know, I'm a little biased bass-wise, but that poor, lonely kick drum all by itself with no glue, nothing to glue it to the guitar. You know, a lot of people think a bass guitar is a guitar with bigger strings, but actually right. It's a drum set with, with longer, rounder heads.
Well, we haven't thought about adding any bass yet, but if you're offering, then we'll definitely take you up on it.
Well, you know, you got a spot for me on the new recording. I would love to fly in the bass, you know, like a wave file or something for Jack. That would be a big honor. I love your band, and if you want me a track or two on this new stuff you go do with Jack, I sure enough.
You're on.
I want to do good for you, but I'll try my hardest.
You're on. We'll make it happen.
Okay. What about this tune here, Snake Breath?
Snake Breath. What is that about?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Look, some people, they say, look, I don't have to talk about the song. That's why I wrote the song. So you don't have to tell me about it if you don't want to.
No, man. I think a lot of the things are just coming to light after becoming a thing. When I was writing the words, sometimes you just do stuff that sounds cool to you and don't really understand what it means. But a lot of the themes of the last set of songs seem to be about kind of love, maybe not the healthy type, yeah. And you know, a lot of control issues.
Yeah.
So I think Snake Breath is kind of, you know, the protagonist of the story going back and forth trying to assert themselves. You know, I try not to attach any kind of gender stuff to whatever, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But, relationships between people, that's where everything comes from for human beings, you know what I mean? So it's always going to be there. But that one, it's like maybe, you know, you're deep into a thing that ain't so good for you and you're trying to figure out what to do with it, basically.
You know, this might not have anything to do with you talking about, but in the Chinese zodiac, a snake is a dragon that don't have wings.
Well, there you go. That makes complete
sense. Okay, let's listen.
Use your and pans, utensils and closet light bulb spares, communal and forgotten, confused, shared.
Build a And so into the fresh, raw April air I go. For me, it is all over now. Mom must pass with my sister by her side. Through 11 days, I have gone through the process, exploring my mind in the hospice. Now I have heard it all. I am okay with that. At last, long love, at last, goodbye to the bad and the old. Forever we are humanists. We can accept whatever comes. 11 days of faithful service, of tending to her every need. Now I must go back to work. Best vacation I ever had, though no closer than ever. The Alzheimer's simplifies things, but at a final great price. For now, the final hour. Time to say what I feel. I guess I finally forgive her. She has suffered with us all. Let us clean up the house, turn our backs on this town. Never wanted to be here. I just was following orders. Final words are, I love your mom.
Okay, the last music for this edition, Cutthroat Brothers with Snake Breath, Midwestern Medicine, actually out of Portland, Maine, Noun Prance, what a title, Noun Prance, and then from Brighton, England, God's Teeth and the Interstellar Tropics, Space Prayers, Joe Brewer out of Madison, Wisconsin, with Goodbye, and finally, Kill For You, Cutthroat Brothers. This is going to be the video, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet you, think about it. If people want to find you on the internet, where do they go?
Cutthroatbrothers.com.
Okay, that's great. That's great. I think every band should have their own website. What's this shit everybody meets at for, you know, to let some gatekeeper. You know, because in old days, right, the ethic was fanzines, and I thought the perfect analogy or metaphor, side mouse meaning for that, would be everybody have their own website. So that's great. Cutthroatbrothers.com. And as we speak, people, they're getting the next batch together. They're looking at a video. They're looking at bringing this even on the road with the second release. But right now they got this first album, and it's a beautiful job. What a now that I know the story that you guys didn't even practice, motherfucker. that's truly wonderful. What about since, you know, you've been playing since you guys were kids and then you got back into it as later, what about younger people coming up to you and asking for advice, seeing your experience in doing music?
Well, you have to ask Donnie. Nobody asked me shit. What do they ask you?
Well, I mean,
well, let's say I asked you. I was a little kid. I wasn't 60 years old yet. And I was asking you for advice.
On playing?
Just music.
Do it.
Just music.
Yeah. Play for fun. Do what you like. You know, you don't have, there's no rules. Just do what feels good to you. And, you know, it just be natural. Because I think, you know, lessons are great. I think all the structure is totally cool. But it's really personality nowadays.
Absolutely. I agree. That's
great. Unless you're R. Kelly, then don't do whatever you want. Maybe do less.
Yeah, maybe do less of what you want. Do the right thing. Jason, you can chime in. You got some experience.
Yeah.
I think it's for me, it's like get your influences and just dig in there and, you know what I mean? Oh, don't be afraid to listen to old music. For kids, a lot of kids, man, that I've talked to, they really are just listening to what's on the current thing, you know, but don't realize where stuff comes from. So digging in it, find the past, you know what I mean? And all that great sound, you know, that's been driving everything, all the ideas the whole time, you know what I mean?
Like, no, and I totally do. Think of it, a band like Black Sabbath, right? Maybe 40, more than 40 years old.
Yeah.
But can you put yourself in my place? I'm 13 in 1970. I was not listening to music from the 30s.
No.
I think actually kids today a little bit more open-minded than in my days. It's not perfect.
Agreed.
Everything ain't solved, but they are a little more open-minded.
Well, and there's a lot more available too. You know, it used to be just what's on the radio and just
That's right.
Now it's exploded, you know. It's massive. What was your first music that you listened to?
The first gig that me and D. Boone went to was T-Rex.
Oh, my God.
Now, when I met D. Boone, we were 12 years old, and the only rock band he had ever heard was Creedence, so he had those first six Creedence albums. So his mother wanted me to be the bass player, and I couldn't tell what
Steve
Cook was doing, so I looked at the album covers. I go, well, maybe if I wear that kind of shirt, you know, I grew up Navy House, and I didn't know fucking lumberjacks and farmers. So I thought that was John Fogerty's kind of rock and roll shirt. So I thought maybe if I wear flannel, D. Boone will still like me because I can't tell what the fuck's going on. I want to thank you guys so much for being on the show. I think you got a bitchin' band. I can't wait for chapter two. And if you want me aboard for a couple tunes, man, that'd be bitchin'. I'd play bass for you.
Absolutely, brother.
Okay.
Man, that's so
big
cool.
Big love, Jason Donnie. Cutthroat Brothers, people. It's been the September 26, 2018 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Thank you, Mike.